Good morning and welcome to our service of morning prayer. I'm Simon McDowell, one of the church wardens here at the parish of Stoke Poges. Please do open the notice sheet as well, and there are other notices in our Friday email, on our website, Facebook and Instagram. And thanks to Janet Cottrell for choosing our music today. On the service sheet, please do join in today's service using the words in bold. And we're going to start with the opening hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," sung by St. Michael's Singers.
Thank you.
Now we move to the prayer of preparation. Please join in words in bold. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have wandered and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us sinners. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a disciplined, righteous and godly life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, sung by King's College Choir in Cambridge.
Glorious things of thee are spoken. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Glorious things of thee are spoken.
now our psalm for today, which is Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6 and 13 to 18, and you can find it on the notice sheet. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. Our scripture reading is read by Kate Holliday for us today.
The reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kate. And now our next hymn is "Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult."
Thank you.
Rachel has opened God's word for us today.
Will you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. What had happened the previous day? What was occurring the day before Jesus decided to head off to Galilee? Well, he was in the process of recruiting the main people for his team, the 12 disciples, who, although they didn't know it at the time, would be his constant companions for his entire ministry. And if you need people to join you, to be with you in your work, then how do you go about getting them on board? How do you recruit people to your cause? Basically, you have two choices. You either force folks to join up, like in the days of national service, which anyone 7 months older than me will remember happening to them. Yes, I missed it by just over half a year. The alternative is to invite them to get involved in your mission. And being God's son and having his father's wisdom, that was how Jesus went about recruiting his team. Jesus clearly knew that one volunteer is worth 10 pressed men. So when he found Philip, he simply said, "Follow me." And when Philip in turn found a very sceptical Nathanael, he simply said, "Come and see," which of course he did. And as Nathanael approached him, Jesus' first words were both a statement and a greeting. "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit," said Jesus. Not surprising, this threw Nathanael a bit. Very nice to receive such a complimentary welcome, for sure. But how could anyone who you have never met, never even heard of or seen before that day, utter such words? "Well, how do you know me?" asked a very puzzled Nathanael. Jesus answered simply, "Blew poor Nathanael's mind. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you," he said. And in that instant, a dubious, untrusting Nathanael knew with absolute certainty that what Philip had told him was true, prompting him to joyously declare, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What a turnaround. What a change. What a transformation. And all because Philip said those three little words, "Come and see." And when you think about it, isn't that how most of us came to faith? Someone who had already been introduced to Jesus just wanted you to also experience the joy and peace that comes from knowing him as both the perfect friend and ultimate saviour. You know, you can read books on evangelism till the cows come home. You can listen to as many testimonies as you like. But I don't think you'll find any occasion when someone has come into a personal relationship with Jesus entirely of their own accord. Another human being has always been involved somewhere along the line. Even if it's as anonymous as picking up a Bible in a hotel bedroom or next to a hospital bed, placed there by the Gideons. And you know, it's hardly surprising, really, because that had always been God's plan, that Jesus' life-affirming message, the key to eternal life, was to be shared with the whole of humanity, but only by those who already become children of God, followers of Jesus. Yes, it's a job just for Christians, you and me. And as we read Jesus' words at the end of Mark's Gospel, "Go forth to every part of the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. And you know there's a similar instruction in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. First off, it was for the disciples and that handful of early followers to be the standard bearers. And down the years, the message has been passed on by believers to be welcomed and accepted by some, but sadly rejected by others. Now, I don't know if you've heard the imaginary story or the incident that was supposed to have happened in heaven. That probably isn't true, but I think it makes the point. The story goes, some angels went to God and said, Father, we understand it's your plan for Jesus' message of salvation, the good news for all the people of the earth, to be delivered to every corner of the world by those humans who have chosen to become his followers, his disciples. And God answered, well, yes, that's correct. But one of them asked, what if they fall down on the job and mess up? What's your fallback position? Your alternative plan to get the job done? God answered, I have no other plan. And why should he? If God decides on something, then that's it. Because sure as eggs is eggs, it will happen. Nothing will ever stop or frustrate the will of God. Nothing. The only question we have to answer is, where do we, you and I, where do we stand? Are we like the Scottish atheist who couldn't care less whether Celtic or Rangers win? Or are we casually hoping that the whole world somehow gets to hear about Jesus? Or are we on the terraces, enthusiastically cheering on those players on the field in the rough and tumble of the match? Or are we actually on the field of play, in the thick of it, doing our bit, inviting others to come and see? I do hope so, because for our genuine followers of Jesus, that clearly is the only possible place to be. And why do I say that? Well, do you remember that quote I read from Mark's Gospel earlier? Go forth to every part of the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Well, it continues with Jesus warning everyone of the horrendous consequences people bring on themselves by rejecting his life-affirming and life-saving offer. Those who believe it and receive baptism will find salvation. Those who do not believe will be condemned. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that everyone should pick up sticks and head off for Inner Mongolia, or if you're not quite that brave, just go to Outer Mongolia. No. Although we should be willing to support those folks who feel called to proclaim the good news to the whole creation. But for the rest of us, there is still plenty to be done, much closer to home. A recent survey, and yes, that's pre-COVID I'm talking about, revealed that in England, less than 10% were practicing Christians. And they define practicing Christians as people who pray and read the Bible weekly, attending church at least once a month. With the remaining 90% of the population split into roughly two equal groups. The first group is all the nominal or non-practicing Christians. And the rest is composed of atheists, agnostics, other religions, don't knows and don't cares. But significantly, two-thirds of the second group said they knew at least one Christian. At least one Christian. Now, I do understand that whilst we're all doing our bit and self-isolating, we are not usually in a position to simply say, come and see. But let's be honest, when we could, how often do we give out that sort of an invitation? I don't know about you, but I do know my report card reads CDB. Could do better. That could do a lot better. So what's the problem? What is preventing us from going and making disciples of all nations, or at least of in our locality, and proclaiming the good news right here, right now? What's stopping us from saying, come and see? Coronavirus, I hear you thinking. But hang on, as I said before, how many of us were that proactive pre-COVID-19? Or for that matter, how many of us invited people they know to online events like the recent Alpha course or our Sunday services? And let's not fool ourselves into thinking people are not really that interested, because the numbers logging on to online services have been more than our normal church attendance. And that's nationally, not just here in Little Stoke Poges. No more than our feeling inadequate should put us off trying. After all we have to do is issue that invitation. Come and see. Of course, we should be prepared to share our faith, our belief, that it really is good news. But it's not you and I who will bring about a change in a person. It's Jesus' words, his example, and the Holy Spirit that will do the heavy lifting. So there really can be no excuse for not trying. You know, I truly believe that doing our best is all that's expected. And God will honour our efforts and amaze us when we do have the courage just to say, come and see. Amen.
Thank you, Nigel. We now say the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our prayers are prepared for us and read by Deb Whittaker.
We pray to our Saviour God, who says, come follow me, just as he did to Philip and Nathaniel. When I say through our lives and by our prayers, please respond with, your kingdom come. Let's pray. We have heard your glorious whisper, almost silent, yet insistent, breaking through the chatter of many voices, the clatter of background noises, the wind, the rain, the storm and hurricanes of our daily life. Through all of this, your voice remains unchangeable, cutting through to the heart and soul, unmissable, saying, come follow me, pick up the cross. My burden is no burden at all. It is simply love poured out for you and in you sustaining, empowering. Come follow me. We pray for ourselves and our church family. Unable to meet in person, forced apart for much of this year, we lift up Natasha, the church wardens and the PCC. Draw them and us close to you, that we might worship in spirit and truth, not only with our lips, but with our lives. Hold us together as a church family during this time apart. Remind us of those moments when someone said, like Philip said to Nathaniel, come and see, and led us to faith. Saviour God, we pray that we will hear your words, come follow me, again and afresh, through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. We pray for our village, for the neighbours, the parish council, and the various groups and businesses active within its boundaries. We pray for those feeling discouraged, those who are facing challenges, be it homeschooling or in their jobs or loneliness. We lift up anyone feeling trapped at home with little to do. Help us, Lord, not to despise the smallest of these days, but to remember, big things start the little step of, come follow me. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. We lift up doctors and nurses in our village, particularly those in the three-way surgery in Wexham Park Hospital. Thank you for their care and dedication. Strengthen them and sustain them through this extended busy period. We pray for the patients in hospital, the bereaved, and for family, friends and neighbours suffering physically, emotionally or spiritually, and we speak their names in our hearts. Thank you, God, for the work of scientists and the miracle of modern medicine. Thank you for the amazing power of tiny doses of vaccine to eradicate serious illnesses, and we hope, COVID, throughout the world. We pray for the vaccine programme to proceed smoothly and a speedy return to a more normal way of life. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. With each lockdown, and especially confined to our homes in the dark of winter, it becomes easier to forget the needs of our neighbours around us. If we have grown weary, strengthen us. Help us discern the current needs of our community. Equip us to serve them, and help us to love our neighbours as you love them. Make us like the fig tree you saw Nathaniel under, Lord. Sturdy, deep-rooted, useful. A support to those in need. A shelter to those who are weary. And bring in fruit for those who hunger. Make us a tree, Lord. Sturdy, deep-rooted, useful. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. Finally, as we adventure with you today, be the compass that guides us, the light that shines on our path, and the only one we follow. We are called by your name, and we are healed by your grace, and we have been appointed to be disciples, and we have been enabled by your Holy Spirit. So send us out to discover Christ in our community, to offer his love to our neighbours, and to be Christ to all we meet, in the name of your dear Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. And let's pray the words our Saviour taught us together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
And the Collect for the second Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, sung for us by the choir at St Andrew's Kirk in Chennai in 2008.
Oh,
we go a blessing. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Do please look at the extra details on the service sheet and join us next week for our next service. And hopefully, sometime soon, we'll be able to meet again in church.